So it's February 14th, 2026. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone. But if you've been glued to your terminal this morning like I have, the irony is just, it's almost too much.
It really is.
While everyone else is out buying chocolates, Silicon Valley is going through what has to be the single messiest, most expensive divorce in its history.
Divorce is, I think, almost too polite for it. This is a decoupling. It's fracturing. And honestly, if you thought the boardroom drama from the early 2020s was intense,
this is a whole other level.
This is a whole other level. We're watching the entire alliance map of AI get redrawn in, what, a single weekend?
It's the speed that gets me. I was reading through the stack of reports you said over the OpenAI declaration, the NVIDIA stuff, the Cerebras deal. And it's not just the drama. It's how, I guess, inevitable it feels now.
Right.
We've been seeing these cracks for months. The OpenAI and NVIDIA partnership was, you know, the bedrock of the whole generative AI boom.
Mm-hmm.
But now, OpenAI has officially dumped NVIDIA for Cerebras. And on the same day, they formally accused DeepSeek of data theft. The gloves are completely off.
The gloves are off because the game itself has changed. We're not playing the generative AI game anymore. That was like 2023 to 2025.
That was the old era.
Exactly. Right. We have officially, I think, entered the agentic era. And the infrastructure that got us here, all the H100s, the B200s, these huge clusters of GPUs, it's just not the same infrastructure that's going to get us to the next level.
Okay, so that's the core theme I really want to dig into today, the agentic era. Because this isn't just some branding pivot, right? When we say agentic, we mean systems that do things, not just systems that say things.
Yes.
And that shift is driving everything from this hardware breakup to new laws passing in Oregon and even the God of War remake we're going to get to later.
It's all connected. An agent doesn't just predict the next token in a poem. An agent plans. It reasons. It executes a workflow over, you know, minutes, maybe hours. And that requires a fundamentally different kind of brain.
So let's start at the epicenter, the Silicon divorce. OpenAI leaving NVIDIA. For years, the story was that NVIDIA had this impenetrable moat.
GDO is everything.
CED was the standard. If you want to trade a model, you pay the NVIDIA tax and you just dealt with it. Why break that pact now? Is Cerebras really that much better? Or is this a power play?
It's a bit of both. It's leverage for sure, but there's also a genuine architectural need here.
Mm-hmm.
You have to look at the product launch that caused this. GPT 5.3 Codex Spark.
Right.
This isn't just a bigger LLM. It's a dedicated agent for coding and architecture. And the reports are all saying OpenAI went to Cerebras specifically for their WSE3 chips.
The wafer scale engines. The dinner plate chips we've all seen pictures of.
That's them.
But let's get technical for a second. Why does the physical size of that chip matter so much for an agent?
It all comes down to latency and memory bandwidth. In a typical NVIDIA cluster, you've got thousands of GPUs connected by cables. When an agent is thinking, when it's planning something complex, the data has to physically travel between those GPUs. That's a bottleneck. It's a latency penalty.
The interconnect bottleneck, we've talked about that before.
Precisely. Cerebras, in effect, puts the entire cluster onto a single piece of silicon. The memory and the compute are right there next to each other. For an agent that needs to loop through reasoning steps really fast, think of it like an inner monologue, that low latency is absolutely critical.
So this isn't about saving money?
Not primarily, no. They're trying to solve the physics of inference reasoning loops.
So NVIDIA's architecture, which is amazing for parallel training, might actually be hitting a wall for sequential reasoning at this new scale. That is a huge bet by OpenAI. But, I mean, NVIDIA's not standing still. I saw the specs for their new Vera Rubin chip.
Oh, they're not.
They're moving to a one-year update cycle now.
They have to. The monopoly is breaking. The Vera Rubin chip is a monster, don't get me wrong. NVIDIA is still the king of training. But this move from OpenAI, it signals that the inference market, the actual running of these agents, is now open for business. It's not a one-horse race anymore.
And then there's the other part of this divorce, the accusation against DeepSeek. OpenAI is calling it a cold war, accusing the Chinese firm of data theft. But when you look at the details, isn't this really about distillation?
That is the nuance, yes. OpenAI's claim is that DeepSeek isn't just training on public data. They claim it's a systematic distillation of the reasoning traces from OpenAI's best models to train their own. It's the teacher-student method, but on an industrial national scale.
Which, to be fair, is how a lot of open source models caught up in the first place. But now the stakes are at national security levels, so the language is getting much more heated.
And the investments match the language. You can't talk about this without bringing in Microsoft's Stargate.
The $100 billion supercomputer. 100 billion. With a B.
It sounds like a number from a sci-fi movie, doesn't it?
It sounds like the GDP of a country. And the energy requirements for it, we're talking gigawatts, right? This isn't a data center. It's an infrastructure project that needs its own power plant.
It almost certainly will need a dedicated nuclear plant, yes. And that tells you everything. Microsoft sees this as the new oil. They are building the refineries for intelligence.
And whether that intelligence runs on NVIDIA or Cerebras chips inside Stargate is just an implementation detail.
Exactly. The scale is the point. They are betting that the demand for agentic compute is going to be functionally infinite.
Which brings us to the models themselves. The software running on all this iron. We have GPT-5.3 Codex Spark, the darling of the Cerebras deal. But honestly, looking at the benchmarks in the report, the real story here seems to be Anthropic.
Opus 4.6?
Opus 4.6. It has officially surpassed GPT-5.2. And frankly, that just confirms the chatter I've seen on developer forums for a month now. Everyone I know doing heavy coding, they've quietly switched to Claude.
I've heard the same.
So for Opus 4.6 to actually take the crown, is this the first time OpenAI has, you know, undeniably lost the lead?
In a sustained, benchmark-verified way.
I think so, yes.
Yeah.
And it matters why it's winning. It's winning on reasoning tasks. Again, the core need for agents.
Mm-hmm.
OpenAI rushing 5.3 out the door on brand new hardware feels like a direct response to Anthropic eating their lunch in that professional market.
It's a total dogfight.
Yeah.
But while they're fighting over the new shiny models, there was this retirement announcement that kind of hit differently. GPT-4o is being officially sunsetted.
Yeah.
And the notes you sent mentioned a psychological analysis about consumer attachment. What's that about?
This part is fascinating and a little dark. GPT-4o was really the peak of the conversational era. It was multimodal. It had that emotive voice. People really bonded with it.
Oh, for sure. I know people who treated it like a therapist.
Yeah.
Just a friend to talk to.
And that's exactly why it's being retired. The analysis suggests that to move people into this agentic era, the companies have to break those parasocial bonds.
Break the bonds. If you see the AI as your buddy, you chat with it. You interact casually. But an agent is supposed to be an employee, a tool. You command it, you don't befriend it.
So they're killing the friend interface to force us to adopt the boss interface.
That's a good way to put it. You can't have effective autonomous agents if your users are stuck in the uncanny valley or have an emotional attachment. They need you to trust the system to execute a task, not to ask how its day was.
It's a forced maturation of the user base.
Exactly.
We're taking away your teddy bear so you'll finally get to work. But it makes sense. If I'm trusting an AI to manage my finances, I don't want it to have a personality. I want it to have competence.
Competence and autonomy. And that autonomy, that brings us to the societal layer. Because if everyone has these agents, well, the playing field isn't exactly level.
The digital divide of 2026. But the report says this isn't about internet access anymore. This is about where your agent lives.
Local versus cloud. That is the new class divide.
Okay, so explain the practical difference. What's my day-to-day like if I'm a cloud agent user versus a local agent user?
It's about privacy and sovereignty. If you're wealthy or just tech savvy enough, you're running your own high-end inference hardware at home. Your agent lives on your metal. It knows your medical history, your finances, your secrets, and none of that ever leaves your building.
And if I'm a cloud user?
Then you're renting intelligence. Your data is constantly flowing to OpenAI or Google or whoever. You're subject to their latency, their censorship, their data mining. Privacy is officially a luxury good.
That's a grim framing, but
yeah.
Yeah, that's hard to argue with. And governments are clearly starting to freak out about what these things can do. The Oregon Senate just passed that agent security law.
This is a huge piece of legislation. It's historic. For the first time, we're not regulating content like hate speech or whatever.
Yeah.
We are regulating action.
Because the agents can execute code. They can spend money.
Exactly. If your agent autonomously decides to short a stock based on some info it scraped, or it negotiates a contract that violates labor laws, who's liable? Is it you, the developer? Is it the agent itself? Oregon is trying to create a legal framework for machine action.
It's just wild that machine action is now a legal term.
Mm-hmm.
But this isn't just a U.S. thing. I saw the note on the Purple Cloth Initiative in the Middle East. That looks like a massive play for AI sovereignty.
It is. The Gulf states realize that relying on Silicon Valley for their intelligence is a huge strategic weakness. Purple Cloth is their initiative to build a localized Arabic-first agent ecosystem. They're subsidizing compute to make AI incredibly cheap for the whole region.
So instead of importing the tech, they're building their own refinery.
And changing the market dynamics completely. If a developer in Cairo can get cheap, high-quality inference from Purple Cloth, why would they pay OpenAI? It's a direct challenge to the U.S.-centric monopoly.
Everything is fragmenting. The hardware, the models, now the geopolitical map.
Yeah.
But
I want to pivot to something that feels a little more optimistic. The Human Layer Initiative for the Elderly.
Yes. Amidst all the corporate warfare, this is so important. As we move to agents handling all the bureaucracy, booking doctors, filing taxes, the elderly are at a massive risk of just being locked out of society.
Right. It's not just, I can't figure out the iPad anymore. It's, I can't navigate the agent that controls my entire pension.
Exactly. So this initiative is all about education. Teaching digital literacy, not as a hobby, but as a survival skill. How do you command an agent? How do you verify its work? It's about reintegrating an entire generation into this new economy.
Which is vital. But let's be honest, the place where most people are going to meet their first real agent isn't going to be the tax office.
No. It's going to be on a console.
Gaming.
Yeah.
The eternal testbed. And we have huge news. A remake of the God of War trilogy, and Konami is bringing back Castlevania and Metal Gear. But the sources say this isn't just nostalgia. No, it's the direct application of everything we've been talking about. Think about an NPC in a game like Metal Gear. Traditionally, they just follow a script. A decision tree.
If player does X, guard does Y. Simple.
In the agentic era, that guard is an autonomous agent. It has a goal, defend the base, and it has tools, it can plan, it can communicate with other agent guards. Konami seems to be betting that the killer app for agents is making video games that are genuinely, truly unpredictable.
That is both terrifying and amazing. You're not playing against the script anymore. You're playing against the tactical intelligence.
And it solves the content problem. You don't need to write a million lines of dialogue if the characters can just generate it based on the situation. But it also raises the hardware bar. Which brings us back to our first point. You can't run that on a 2020-era PS5.
Hence the need for that one-year update cycle on chips. Even consoles will need agentic cores. And speaking of games, Milan 2026. The Winter Olympics are happening right now. The report calls it the first agentic Olympics.
This is where the digital and physical really merge. We're not just talking about better TV broadcasts. The source material talks about a gaming and technology layer that's integrated into the actual event.
What does that even look like in practice?
It means real-time, agent-driven biometrics and analytics overlaid on the sports themselves. Imagine you're watching skiing, but an AI agent is generating a real-time physics model of the run, predicting outcomes, and maybe even gamifying it for the audience at home.
So the spectators are interacting with an agent that understands the sport better than the human commentators do.
And it's managing all the logistics in the background, crowd flow, security, transport, all being optimized by autonomous systems. Milan is the big showcase. If it works there, it proves that agents can run a city, not just a chat window.
Wow. Okay, that is a lot. We've gone from chip architecture to global politics to Kratos throwing an axe. So let's bring this back down to earth for the listener, the learner who's trying to figure out how to navigate all this. The source material had a survival guide. Let's break that down.
Right. On the professional side, the advice is very clear. Brand loyalty is dead. If you're a coder, a builder, the source is explicit. Switch to Anthropic Opus 4.6 for your heavy lifting. Right now.
Don't just stay on GPT because you have a subscription. Follow the benchmark.
Follow the performance. But at the same time, and this is the second point, if you're a general user, someone still on a free tier, you need to upgrade to GPT 5.3 immediately. The gap between the free models and the agentic models has become a chasm. You are just working with one hand tied behind your back if you're not on the new stuff.
Okay, so Opus for builders, GPT 5.3 for generalists. What about the money angle?
Follow the infrastructure. The guide flags Cerebras. With this OpenAI deal, they are the new kingmaker. Watch their stock, or their IPO if that's still pending, and keep a close eye on the energy sector that's going to have to support projects like Stargate.
And finally,
culturally, prepare your hardware. And I mean that literally. The tip was clear your console storage. The God of War remake, these new agentic games, they're going to be data monsters. But on a broader level, it just means understanding that entertainment is becoming an active experience. You're not just consuming content, you're interacting with a simulation.
It really feels like we're standing on a threshold. For the last few years, AI was this this fun magic trick. It wrote poems. It drew pictures. Now it's building $100 billion supercomputers. It's rewriting laws. And it's managing our Olympics.
The toy phase is over. I think that's the big takeaway, the Silicon divorce we started with. It's just the growing pains of an industry that's becoming the backbone of the global economy. We're moving from the era of artificial intelligence to the era of synthetic labor.
Synthetic labor. That's a phrase that's going to stick. And hey, if you're feeling a little bit replaced by all this synthetic labor, well, it is Valentine's Day. Go talk to a human. They still run on the original hardware, and the latency is terrible, but the emotional bandwidth is unbeatable.
And the privacy policy is usually better.
Usually. Thank you for breaking all this down.
Yeah.
It is a brave new world out there. To everyone listening, keep your agents updated, keep your eyes open, and stay curious. We'll catch you on the next deep dive.
Stay curious.